Backseat Box Office, episode number 10 for the weekend of November 26th through the 28th, 2010.
Hey, this is Tony.
This is Andrew.
This is Jonathan.
And we are the Backseat Producers.
And I have a beef with Tony Mast.
Before I let you air your grievances, I just have to say, happy Skanksgiving.
Hey, happy Skanksgiving to you.
You know, if we weren't recording, I'm making a sacrifice here, because if we weren't recording, we would have probably recorded the Backseat Producers episode tonight from Shomies, which is the local version of Hooters. Because they're doing a bikini contest right now. So
just lends even more credence to the name Skanksgiving.
Yes. This is my sacrifice for the podcast.
You are dedicated to your work.
I am.
But I still have a grievance.
If you guys had recorded at Showmies though, then I wouldn't have been able to rile up Chibi so much.
That's true. We did get Chibi.
That was the whole point
very
of
riled
showing
up
tonight.
I knew he would get so riled up because the movie we discussed on the Backseat Producers episode tonight was Scott Pilgrim versus the World. I remember when the trailer came out, and I had never heard of Scott Pilgrim. Had no clue what this was. And the trailer for it came out, and he's on Google Buzz. And he's going, and it may have been copied over from Twitter or something. I'm not really sure how that worked out, but I saw it first on Buzz. Oh my f-ing God, the Scott Pilgrim trailer is out, and it's so hot. Oh my God. And it's just him geeking out and swearing, to which his father responds to the Google Buzz. Is this really the kind of thing you want to be putting out? Which was just awesome. Especially now having, you know, Twitter met his mom, who is just one of the coolest people to follow on Twitter, period. She just is. She's awesome.
It makes me wonder if his dad is reading what his mom is putting on Twitter. If he had a problem with Chibi swearing about Scott Pilgrim.
I don't think he does. Especially her theme this week is, Black Friday is going to be bad when he finds out how much I've been spending on stuff. But it's mostly for him, and I'll give him sex so it'll be all right. You are awesome. You are awesome on so many levels. And Andrew now has a beef, so...
I do. I've got a problem. So, for a year now, my weekly article on Backseat Producers has just dominated for the most part. I usually post after Darren's review, so I get, you know, steal the top spot from him on Monday.
True.
And then it just sits there all week. Mm-hmm. I can go and I look at it. It's nice and shiny. It makes me happy. Recently, though, someone has started publishing all sorts of stuff on your feed, just day after day of all these new episodes of Backseat Producers, and my stuff gets pushed right to the bottom. And I got a problem with that.
That sucks.
How dare you release new content, sir?
I know.
Exactly.
I know.
I came into this thinking that you guys didn't release things.
To be fair, it's not new content.
This is true.
To be fair.
This is incredibly disturbingly true.
the episode that dropped today being the Wednesday before Thanksgiving, was recorded in April, the beginning of April, no less. But we're catching up. We're trying.
About 5 months back, yeah.
We're trying. Your maths are off. It's 7 months.
I was trying to make it sound better.
No. It's bad. There's no glossing over the fact of how bad it is. In fact, we have an episode coming up in 2 weeks that will officially be over 8 months old when it drops. So it'll be actually 8 and a half, almost 9 months. It's a baby. It gestated longer than my daughter did. So I'm just, from conception to birth, this episode will have taken longer than Aaron did. So there you go. Take that for what you will. But we're trying. If all goes well, in about 5 months, we'll be caught up. And I mean, I say that sheepishly, but that's releasing two episodes a week. after some discussions with fans and such, we're going to leave Backseat Box Office as part of the main Backseat Producers feed. So we'll have two Backseat Producers episodes each week and the Backseat Box Office episode. So that's three items a week. Most of them at a minimum 30 minutes. Most of them getting closer to 45 to an hour. So, yeah, to do any more than that, to catch up any quicker, we would just be cramming things down people's throats, pushing your articles down even faster.
And we don't want that. No. That is not acceptable.
Plus, it's rough enough editing 2.5 episodes a week. To do any more than that is just would be problematic. Because I'm doing two Backseat Producers episodes, and every other week you and I share the duties editing this. So, yeah, it would be problematic if I did too much more than that.
I was going to say, your gripe about your articles moving down the list really just makes me want to write movie reviews and ask if they'd be released on Tuesday.
No, just wait till about midnight on Monday, or, 12:01 Tuesday, just post it, because I'll be done by then.
Win-win.
Everybody goes home happy. But do you know what else is problematic?
How you did this week?
Exactly right. Exactly right. I was abysmal this week, unlike you two. You did quite well.
That's true.
I don't think I qualify as doing quite well.
You're beating me, so you have to be doing quite well. True. Otherwise, it just makes me sound worse.
By comparison.
That's right. Because if you're doing bad, what's that make me?
You just suck.
You're doing quite well, Jonathan. Quite well.
Ah. Yeah, no. I'm doing terrible.
Thanks for that, buddy.
You know what I love about the change in Backseat Box Office? So from when I was doing it as solo to having you guys, the ball busting that we get to do. It makes it so much more fun.
It was severely missing from the first few episodes.
Yeah, the first few episodes are me like, man, I suck at this. So here's my picks for next week. Should we recap?
Let's recap. Let's start with the person who did the best. Yeah. Tony Mast.
T-Mast. All right. So this week I picked Harry Potter as number one. We all picked Harry Potter as number one. Any idiot could have seen that coming.
That's why I got 20%.
Though we all underestimated just how big that movie was going to be, because I don't think any of us predicted over 100 million.
I want to say that Andrew underestimated. I never made a guess. I was just like, it's got to do better than that.
Yeah.
So
that's true.
I just went 10 million. I took the last movie and added 10 million was all I did.
That was a terrible idea, wasn't it?
I was expected to explode by about 33%. That was even more than that.
That was crazy. It did really well. 125 million?
Did 66% better than the previous movie on its opening weekend.
Wow. So it was what, like 125 million? Is that right?
125 million.
Wow.
The previous one was 70 something million.
I actually looked at the previous weekends, with the exception of Megamind's opening weekend. You have to go back to like mid August, late July, to find a weekend where the entire top 12 take is more than Harry Potter's take this last weekend.
That is crazy. And was that about the time when Inception was out, when it was doing crazy good?
The weekend where that finally is July 30th, August 1st, Inception.
Yep.
Inception, Dinner for Schmucks, and Salt.
Oh, wow.
Well, one of those movies is really good. Top three.
I haven't seen the other two, so I can't speak. I could, but I'm not going to.
Well, real quick, why don't I run down the top five real fast?
All right, let's do that.
Of how the box office did. As we've mentioned, Harry Potter and the Deathly Hallows Part 1 just had a resounding weekend with 125 million in 4,125 theaters, dominating all other takers. Number two, Megamind, brought in 16 million, down about 45%.
Stinking Megamind.
I called that shot.
Number three was Unstoppable, dropping to 13 million. Number four is Due Date, hanging in there despite my predictions at 8.9 million. And at number five, The Next 3 Days debuted, despite Jonathan's predictions, at $6.5 million.
Okay, I've got to say, I figured Next 3 Days would have probably pulled in at least $10 million. And if it would have, I would have been absolutely right. I would have.
Tony was about 100%. $2.5 million off from being the first 100%
of the show. But that damn movie, close. That damn movie couldn't even manage to bring in $7 million. Jesus Christ, who would have thought that? I mean, it's got Russell freaking Crowe in it. Come on. I would have never expected it would have done that poorly. That's just a poor opening weekend. That's just
Look at Skyline. Look at Skyline, and it did.
Yeah.
It did half what Skyline did. And Skyline is like $3 million this week.
Yeah.
Oy,
yeah. That is, Skyline did $3.5 million.
One very important movie, though, in my wrap up. I'm sorry, Tony.
Oh, yeah.
But I gotta get this in.
Oh yeah.
Fair Game jumped from number 15 to number 10. It's now in 386 theaters. Brought in $1.4 million. It's climbing.
At this rate, next week it's gonna be number 5.
It very well could be. Mean,
it keeps jumping 5 spaces.
It's
is it going wide
for the small release that it's out? It's doing very well.
It is doing. You can't really argue that. I mean, you're looking at if you look at the list, it's 1,000 theaters. The top 12 are all at least 1,000, if not up to 2 and 3, 4. And Fair Game is in 400, and it's number 10. That's actually really impressive for
it really is.
Well, get this. Fair Game's average take per theater is $3,772. The only movies that topped that this week were Harry Potter, which brought in a ridiculous $30,000 per theater.
That's
Megamind
crazy.
With $4,200 per theater, and Unstoppable $4,000 per theater.
New maths. 400.
Hey, I'm not a scientist or a mathematician. So,
neither am I, and that must be why the maths didn't work out for me this week.
But you sounded so good last week.
I know, it was convincing, wasn't it?
It was.
I may not have the maths in my degree, but I definitely have the bullshit in my degree.
That's true.
The BS instead of the BA.
the BS instead of the BO.
So Tony, you represent were telling us, how you did last week.
I did fairly well. I got a 60% top 3, and the only reason I wasn't 100% was because that freaking movie couldn't crack 7 million. Jesus Christ! If it would have made 9 million, I would have been in.
Humanity disappoints me again because I expected humanity to disappoint me and like spend tons of money on this movie because it got crap reviews, and then. You know, the last couple of movies where I've been like, well, it's getting crap reviews, so it's not going to do it well. Skyline. Jackass. Like, oh, look, we're going to go see it. And then this week it's getting crap reviews and it got crap box office too. I'm like, ah, oh, I hate you people. Everyone in the country, with the exception of those people listening to me.
And talking with you, right?
No, he probably has hatred for us, too. I have no delusions otherwise.
So, Tony got 60. Jonathan, how did you do this week?
I got 40. I got Harry Potter and Unstoppable. I thought, you know, action movie would do well.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't.
Well, you know, after Friday, when the early Friday returns came back, it was actually the other way around. Unstoppable was leading Megamind, but I think all those weekend matinees really boosted Megamind sales for the rest of the weekend.
Yeah, I've come to, you know, watching these trends, it really seems like the family-friendly movies do much better on Saturday versus Friday. Friday appears to be the date night kind of movies, where Saturdays, I mean, well, you have people still going to school and work on Friday also, where more people are going to be off during the day, taking their kids to see movies on Saturday, less likely to then turn around and go back and go to a date night kind of movie. So they're going to get that in on Friday. At least that's kind of the supposition I'm going to make from it. I don't know. I'm feeling kind of warm now from this wonderful scotch that I'm drinking, so I could start babbling. It could get bad. Or it could get brilliant. I think it is. 12-year McCallum's good stuff. I could get 100% though too. This could be the magic bullet. I just might have to drink every week now if this pulls that out.
I was quite thankful that Harry Potter came out this weekend because that kept me from a 0%. So I brought in 20. I did predict Harry Potter. The rest of my list was out the window. It was I had Unstoppable at 2. You know, it switched with Megamind, and then it was just bad. So I'm hoping to do better this week.
Yeah, you didn't even have due date. Where?
I had due date. I didn't have the top five.
Yeah, I was
off my top five. Six there.
I have no delusions about this week. This week's gonna suck.
This week is going to be terrible.
Four wide release
movies. Burlesque comes out. Aren't you guys getting ready? Excited to see Burlesque this weekend?
Looks so awful. I haven't seen anything about this, but Julie's like, "Oh my god, have you seen Christina Aguilera? She's put on so much weight." Okay.
Apparently, what she finds noteworthy.
That's her thing. I guess she watched the AMAs the other night, and you know, you see the trailer or the commercials for Burlesque. She's like, oh, she doesn't look too bad there. And I guess she did a performance on the AMAs, and she's like, oh my god, she's fat. She must have gained like 50 pounds. Really? Is that what you're finding noteworthy about this?
We've got four movies coming out, and I think all of them are actually Wednesday releases. So, Jonathan, put that in your notes.
they actually are all Wednesday releases, according to Box Office Mojo.
I'll keep it in mind.
Because I remember Morning Glory. You felt a little slighted by that.
Hey, you know,
Morning Glory was a kind of an outlier though, because it was the only one that week that did that.
Right.
Yeah, where this time all of them are doing it.
Well, hey, and in my defense, you know, Morning Glory was a Wednesday release, and I said it was going to be farther down on the list because it was a Wednesday release.
True.
And it was fifth. So, you know, I gave it more credit, even with it being a Wednesday release.
He's getting
really
belligerent. He's getting feisty.
You know, it's Chibi's fault.
Chibi. You guys
blaming
did
Chibi for everything tonight.
You guys got each other riled up. That was fantastic.
The best part is I got him riled up on what my opinion of the first half hour of the movie was. I was completely talking out my ass
about the rest of it.
Yeah, because I had no idea what that happened.
You'd seen what, a third of the movie?
Yeah, I mean, I had time to watch the first half hour of the movie before the show started, and I'm not gonna lie, it's probably the worst half hour of a movie I've ever watched.
Oh, come on!
It is terrible. There's nothing happens. Michael Cera is a dick. All the people he hangs out with are dicks. I hate all of them. You know, at a certain point, like, Wallace becomes kind of cool in like the first 45 minutes, but I just, like, at the start, I don't care about any of them. And I've got you and Chibi and David and all these other people running in the back of my mind going, it's the greatest movie ever. It's the greatest movie ever. And I'm like, no, it's not. So, you know, I'm expecting frickin' Citizen Kane here. And I get, I don't know what, but boring. I'll be honest, I didn't even crack a smile. I take that back. There are two points where I cracked a smile. The Universal logo.
The Universal logo was hot. That was very cool. Because when I saw that, I was like, oh, this has hope.
Yeah. Yeah. And then
hope was dashed.
The coins. The coins at the end of the first fight. Like the River City Ransom. I was like, that's pretty cool. I didn't laugh. I didn't just... And I haven't seen the whole movie. I can't put it in context. And I've got all of this overhype of it that I've got to, like, try and weed out. But I can't because it's all there. So, you know, whatever. Actually, I didn't care for Citizen Kane that much. But it's the, it's the soonest thing that I could come up with, AV. So, yeah, it's the easy fallback. I watched it.
I like Citizen Kane. I thought it was a pretty good flick. But that's neither here nor there.
That's the other thing, too, is I don't really remember it except for the Rosebud bit.
Well, let me ask you some questions. Anyway, this is off track a bit. Let's talk about the movies coming out this week.
I'm just saying it was fun to rile up Chibi based on half an hour of a movie.
That's fair.
Chibi is fun to get riled up. Because he's just so passionate. We got
four new movies.
Yes, we do. Yes, we do.
Got Tangled coming out from Disney, Burlesque featuring Cher and Christina Aguilera.
Number one there.
Love and Other Drugs featuring Anne Hathaway and Jake Gyllenhaal. God, I hope I said that right.
Gyllenhaal.
And then Faster with Dwayne the Rock.
Whoa.
Dwayne the Rock.
Yeah, I know. Hold on.
Shouldn't that be Diane?
We have to correct this first. Jake Gyllenhaal. And I'm going to punch you in the throat because you don't realize that that's Maggie Gyllenhaal's brother, and you need to know how to pronounce her name right because she's awesome.
I just call her Mags.
Well, that's all right.
No, Maggie Gyllenhaal has kind of a scary mouth.
You know what? Maggie Gyllenhaal has an unusual look to her, but I'm going to quote my co-host Adam. I'm going to call him Adam. I'm not going to call him David because that's just what I do.
That's fine. Half the reason why I call him David is just to foment confusion and annoy everybody who doesn't want to call him David. So.
I would do were I not married and had the opportunity, I would do terrible things to Maggie Gyllenhaal. Terrible things.
Well, my only thing about Maggie Gyllenhaal is just that I always thought that the next villain, since they can't bring Joker back, should be Harlequin. Just because they could put Maggie Gyllenhaal's character in the role, and she's got the mouth that you don't even need to give her like fake scars. Her mouth just like stretches that far and has.
But
that
you know
kind
what?
Joke.
If they make her the Harlequin from Batman Arkham Asylum, wearing the outfits she wore in that, I'm down for that.
I'm telling you,
that was
awesome.
There
are all kinds of good things that come from this.
Yes,
and they're not. I mean. Opportunity wasted. He could have
it brings a whole new meaning to the proposed title, The Dark Knight Rises.
Yeah. You know?
All right. So these flicks.
I have my one and two figured out. The next three, what the hell? This is another week where it's just like what the hell? Thank you so much, Hollywood, for making my podcasting life difficult.
Yeah. All right, so jumping in feet first. I guess I have to go first since I won last week.
You do.
I need to figure out.
As the reigning champion.
Let's see. Number one, Harry Potter. I got to say, it's gonna come down some. I've heard some reviews coming out saying that it's slow and boring. I've heard other reviews saying that it is fantastic and awesome.
But none of it matters.
People are going to go see it regardless.
It's Harry Potter. Exactly. None of it matters.
Exactly. So I'm going to say that's going to stay at number one. I'm going to say Entangled at number two. Here's where things get interesting. Looking at everything else, I've got to say Burlesque is going to come in number three. And I just, oh man, this is where it gets dicey. Let's say, who did you say was in Love and Other Drugs? Anne Hathaway, who else?
It had Anne Hathaway and Jake Gyllenhaal.
Gyllenhaal.
The dude from Jarhead, he's in it.
Maggie's brother.
Yeah, Mag's brother, that's right.
We all understand what you mean, and that's okay. All right, so I said Harry Potter at number one.
You did.
I said Tangled at number two, Burlesque number three, Megamind number four.
Really?
Yes.
That's gutsy.
I'm big balling over here because I'm drinking scotch.
Go for it. You'll probably be right. I mean, freaking Megamind has managed to completely defy all of my desires for it every week. So.
As crazy as this sounds, I'm going to say Faster in number five. And my logic here is I have a supposition that Love and Other Drugs and Burlesque are going to share an audience of females, but the Burlesque is going to win out. And actually, Tangled is probably going to get some more of that audience than Burlesque is even going to get. But I think Faster is really the only adult action movie out this week, other than Unstoppable, which, I mean, quite honestly, it's on its third week. It only made $13 million this past week. It's probably going to drop to the eight or $9 million range. I think maybe The Rock can bring in $10 million. So that's where I'm going to throw Faster in there. So there you go.
See, I thought the Gladiator could pull in $10 million too, but
I see. I think what Tony's saying is that all the Skyline fans are going to go see Faster this weekend.
Potentially, I'm just always guessing $10 million for a movie. So that's my $10 million movie this week. Eventually, I'll get one right.
That's your home base.
That's my always answer. C on the one you don't know. When in doubt, Charlie out. Yep. When in doubt, Charlie out. That's my $10 million right there. Bam.
Well, Jonathan, what do you think is going to happen this week?
Oh, my list: Harry Potter, Tangled, and then everything goes to pot.
Fair game.
You know, if it's expanding again, if it goes to like 500 theaters, you could probably see it.
Yeah. One of us might actually get a chance to go if it gets hit to that many theaters.
Let's see. I'm going to go with Faster, Love and Other Drugs, and then it's not going to be Megamind. It's just not. Any audience that isn't already going to Harry Potter is really going to switch over to Megamind, or really going to switch over to Tangled. I can't see it. Ah, stupid Megamind. All right, fine. Megamind.
Megamind is your kryptonite.
It's not
going to
be Megamind, but it's going to be Megamind. So let's go with Megamind. So I was going to say number one, Harry Potter. Number two, Tangled. Number three, Faster. Number four, Love and Other Drugs. And then number five, Megamind.
That was great, because I think I actually heard your brain explode a little bit right there.
It's gonna be terrible. I'll get 40%. I am confident that I will get 40%.
Yeah, I think that's a good bet.
I think we all
Tangled
will.
Tangled doesn't come in number two. That's gonna be shocking. If
that's gonna be rough for all of us.
Yeah. If Burlesque opens up number one, we're all screwed.
Yep.
And I mean that more than just on this podcast. I mean, as a society, we are screwed.
But
if Burlesque opens in the top five, I'm going to be annoyed.
But depending on the taste of our wives, because we are all married, depending on the taste of our wives, if we take them to see it, we might get screwed.
I can say that my wife would rather see Love and Other Drugs, and then I'd get screwed from that. My wife would rather see
Tangled, so I'm good there.
Yeah, actually, that's true too. If I took my wife to Burlesque, she'd be like, "Is this some kind of sick joke?" And then the night would not end well.
But you gotta say Cher and Christina Aguilera. I mean, that's a good pairing right there. That's Christina looking into her future right there.
Looking into her future and seeing herself as... Never mind. What are your picks there, sir?
All right. Well, unsurprisingly, number one, Harry Potter. Number two...
It's a gutsy move.
Yeah, I know. I'm stepping out there on my own branch this week. Number two, Tangled.
Shocking.
And, of course, at that point, I run into the same problems you guys have been, you know, wrestling with for the last few minutes. I think in the number three spot, I'm going to have to go with Love and Other Drugs, mainly because it's the one that most appeals to me. So, obviously, I have to be typical, right? I have to be the average, so I'm going to go shoot that out there in number three. And number four, I'm going to put Faster. And number five, I'm going to put Burlesque, because it is least appealing to me. So that is my scientific reasoning. I'm not using the maths this week. I'm just going to go from the gut.
Yeah, I didn't bother with the maths because they failed me, which just further goes to prove that my high school math teachers were liars. Liars and cheats, all of them. Because they all had that poster. You will need math later in life. And look what happened. Last week, I tried to make use of the maths. Did me no good.
Because there's no possibility of user error, right?
No, none.
No. No. Hell
no. No, I did the maths. I made the calculations.
And they let you down.
Yeah. You know, I ran the numbers, if we want to get technical.
You ran through the Cray supercomputer in the next room, and that's what spit back out to you?
You know what? I had a talk with Deep Blue. First thing it told me was that Bobby Fischer's a chump. Second thing it told me was that the next 3 days couldn't lose with, you know, Russell Crowe. Thanks. I tell you what, I don't know how that damn thing wins chess games.
Oh my god.
I think Andrew's gonna stop breathing at some point.
I'm starting to wish I'd paid more attention in yoga. I'm gonna pass out. Oh. My gosh. I never thought we'd bring up a Deep Blue reference that works so well. All right.
Apparently I've broken several people.
All right. Deep breath, deep breath. All right, I'm back. So, yeah, if Deep Blue told you that the next 3 days was going to do well, you should kick him right in the junk.
I know. So, you know, when he spit out Burlesque at number 5, I was like, no, nah, that can't happen.
So, you're like, F you, computer. I'm out.
I tell you what, Deep Blue's list looks an awful lot like yours, Andrew. We'll find out next week.
Oh, snap.
You know what I promised this week? I promised 40%. That's all I'm promising this week. I'm very confident I will have 40%.
Yeah, I already took that promise. You can't make that promise.
I am going to promise I get at least 20%. Because I'm not going to 60. I'm not promising
that. I'm promising I won't get zero. How's that? Now watch it happen. That Tangled blows out Harry Potter.
Oh, don't even say that.
Then we're all just screwed.
At that point, we just shut down the podcast and call it a day.
Yeah. Hey, you know what? It's obvious we suck at this. Good night.
You're clearly not capable.
We can catch up on Backseat Producers even faster now because we can do 3 a week.
Yeah, I would have nothing else to edit except Backseat Producers at that point. I can hear Tony thinking in his brain, like, huh.
Maybe this is a plan.
Maybe hiatus. Get rid of this podcast.
Hiatus.
AV agrees.
We're going to take a break until January just to get us caught up all the quicker. Because right now, you know what? I'm looking at 12:20 a.m. at Happy Thanksgiving. Andrew.
Hey! Thanks, man.
What is this I hear about a ridiculous turkey? What's going on with that?
Ridicu turkey.
I'm sorry.
Well, I'm a big Good Eats fan.
Okay.
And about six, seven years ago, I watched the Good Eats Thanksgiving special. And there's a thing about how to make a turkey. And I made the turkey, and then everybody, like, I'm now officially in charge of the turkey every year because everybody loves my turkey so much. Awesome. And the nice thing is that because of the way I make the turkey, like, Safeway has their ridiculous deals on turkeys. Like, you can get turkey for $5-6, right? So, you know, I don't see any point in buying when the range is like $5 for 12 to 16 pounds or $6 for 16.01 to 20 pounds, or $7 for 20.01 to 24 pounds. Well, you know, like, if I'm going to buy a turkey, I'm going to buy it on the upper end of that scale, right? Well, there were no upper ends on the 12 to 16 pounds, and there were no upper ends on the 16 to 20 pounds. So I have right now in the brine a 23.5-pound turkey.
That's fantastic. All right. So
that is great.
So just to bring up a recurring theme, Sausage Fest is now going to be called Turkey Fest. And Jonathan, You're in.
We're going to put you to work.
Oh, I need more time than a day flying in early for that. That's, and you know,
we'll bring you in a couple days earlier. We'll bring you in earlier.
If I've got to, like, if I got to carry a turkey on the plane, I'm sure that'll get groped. And do you really want TSA groped turkey?
Hey, you know what? Strange thing about St. Louis, we do have turkeys. They're around.
But
most people don't know that.
Sounds delicious.
Well, yeah, and with a turkey that big, I'm actually coming up on about half an hour where I need to switch out the brine.
Wow. So,
to make sure that enough of the brine gets into the turkey.
Well, we're thinking of starting a new Thanksgiving tradition here. At least I've been promoting it. My wife has not been too excited about it. We saw it on the internet the other day. This guy named Charles Phoenix does a lot of cooking little clips that he posts. And you guys know what a turducken is, right?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. We were actually debating turning this turkey into a turducken.
Well, he was inspired by the turducken this year to make what he calls a chirpumple.
A what?
A what?
It's a chirpumple. What this is.
Oh, my God. I think is it a cherry pie inside a pumpkin pie?
Almost. You're not quite thinking big enough. It's a three-layer cake.
Oh.
Inside each layer of cake, there is a different pie baked inside of it.
Oh, my goodness.
Really?
Each layer separated by cheesecake
frosting. I just figured out the pole.
Yeah. So what it is, they've got a layer of spice cake with a pumpkin pie inside of it. They have got a layer of yellow cake mix with cherry pie inside of it. And then they've got a layer of white cake mix with a apple pie inside
of it. Oh, holy hell.
And the video, I'll put in the show notes, the video of him watching, it's about 2 minutes long. It is fantastic.
I am going to go chew on something now. Because that is... I'm inspired to eat. Just by the description of this. Oh my God, that sounds amazing.
I mean, basically all you do is
you
pre-bake the pies.
It's hard.
No.
I'm just saying. It is.
Check the show notes. It's good stuff.
That's, oh man.
But my wife keeps saying things about, you know, obesity and diabetes and, you know, blackouts and I don't know. She's crazy.
Yeah, don't listen to her.
I know you have my best interest at heart, Tony.
Trust me, you don't get a figure like mine without following your heart and your gut. At the same time. And your heart and your gut should both be heading you straight towards this amazing mecca of food.
Well, you guys have a good holiday, and I'll see you next week.
Only so long as, you know, burlesque doesn't crack the top three.
Or Tangled doesn't come in number one.
Yeah, if Tangled comes in number one,
I'm even okay with that. Like, if it turns out that
I think that'd be awesome.
Perfect movie or something.
I think that would be awesome if it does. I just don't think it will.
No.
I would be cool if it does. I would have no problem if it's number one. Disney needs good solid movies. I won't stop podcasting
if it's number one.
No.
If Burlesque is anywhere, you know, in the same neighborhood, then I will, because you know what? The American populace doesn't deserve us.
We're too good for it.
It's, you know what? It's not us. It's you, America.
I don't want archivists finding this, you know, and like
the reason we're breaking up
them.
Yeah, the reason we're breaking up. It's you. We're not even going to pull the punches. Yeah. Not even going to do it.
Just that's it.
Don't really care about your feelings because you obviously don't care about ours.
All right, well, assuming that doesn't happen, we'll see you all back here next week.
See ya.
Yes.
Bye.
It's your bumble.
All right, let me transition into this thing. Let me. All right. So Jonathan obviously thinks
that's what I just did.
Turkey at the theater this weekend. And speaking of turkeys, how about this Thanksgiving? You guys excited? I'm ready to eat.
That was terrible. That was terrible. Oh, my goodness. I hope that makes it into the final edit.